Okay, I'm still, I guess, not clear on the Archons.
Well,
And I don't
none
know
of us
why
is
I'm not,
really
but
clear on the
in other
Archons.
words, they were created very early on before the biological thing began to happen.
That's right.
And they do really, in a lot of ways, seem more like what we would regard as angels than what we would regard as, oh, I don't know, some planet light years away, learning how to travel faster than light, getting here, arriving here from another actual planet somewhere out there. We're not thinking of Archons that way at all, are we?
No, we're thinking of them as inherent to our solar system and as being, in a sense, our cosmic cousins, although we're organic beings and they're inorganic beings.
Not fathers and mothers, but cousins, huh?
Cousins. But I would add this, when if we're gonna talk now about our cosmic cousins, which the Gnostics said were of two types, a reptilian type and an embryo type, we have to bear in mind that the Gnostics were very explicit about the behavior of our cousins.
What did they say, these Archons did? Did they abduct people? Did they do?
Indeed. Indeed. As a matter of
Oh, I'll
fact,
be damned.
there is a text in the Nag Hammadi collection, which is called the First Apocalypse of James. And I've written about this, written a commentary on this text in the site metahistory.org. In fact, there's a lot, an enormous amount about the Archons now on metahistory.org, explaining more or less the cosmology that I just summarized and so forth. But in this one particular text, which is from Nag Hammadi, they use the term they use the language of they will take away souls by theft.
By theft.
Yeah. And this, I believe, is equivalent to what we today would call abduction. Now, this is not the only explicit reference to abduction in the Nag Hammadi, but it is one of the more clear ones. And what's remarkable about this first apocalypse of James is it takes the form of a dialogue between a Gnostic teacher and a student. And in this dialogue, the student, the teacher, who is presumably a more advanced shaman who has observed and encountered these beings, explains their behavior, explains how they're menacing, how they're threatening. They're kind of like described as bullies. They push people around. They don't ask for permission to intrude on our reality. All in all, the Gnostics concluded that these Archons are a predatory species. And so I would be a little careful with equating them with angels because, you know, the normal association we make with angels is that they are perhaps
Well,
emissaries of the good God.
yes, but there's some angels that didn't exactly toe the line, as it were, and they were, in fact, casted on out for exactly that reason, right?
Well, that's right. Well, legends that you find in mythology regarding the fallen angels, the Watchers, the Anunnaki as well, do also refer to these Archons. I am convinced, and I don't say this lightly, believe me, because I really looked at this one intensely, but I'm convinced that these Watchers of the Book of Enoch were identical to the Archons described by pagan shamans.
You described them as our cousins. You really think that's an appropriate description as cousins?
I'm not sure. I'm not entirely comfortable with that. But I think that we do need to recognize that there is a certain kind of kinship because they belong not to the earth, again, I emphasize this, but to the solar system. And the earth belongs to the solar system. So you put that together. Somewhere we are related to them in a cosmic sense.
What about, all right, what about their motivations? In other words, what are they after? What do they want? Why are they here? They're still here today, right?
They are still here today, and they've been here for a very, very long time. As to their motivations, well, that's one of the more fascinating points that comes up in the Gnostic writing. Right.
Presumably, if they wanted us dead or gone, we'd be dead or gone.
Well, have to draw, make a cautionary remark there. The Gnostics are very, very clear in saying that the Archons are not more powerful than us, more powerful than us, nor are they more evolved than us.
Hmm.
And this, again, is a very unique and kind of arresting point that comes from the Gnostic teachings.
Now, are they evolving with us, or have they evolved as far as they're going to?
Well, what the Gnostics say about that is very peculiar. They say that the Archons actually lack our evolutionary drive. Mm-hmm. They're more like cyborgs. They are more like a robotic race who can follow orders and imitate, but cannot actually innovate and evolve in the sense that we understand it.
Gosh, that's so interesting, John, because the Greys have been described a million times by people who have had encounters with them as what they thought were sort of biological robots, not the real intellect behind whatever was moving and motivating them, but they were sort of like biological robots. They've really been described that way.
Well, absolutely, and I think that among the many things that this Gnostic interpretation of Archons has to offer us is a confirmation of where we stand with the Greys in that respect. And even in this text that I'm referring to, the Second Apocalypse of James, the teacher makes a very great point to his student. They will not rule over you. They do not have dominion over the earth.
Right.
They were not your creators, but they are in the solar system with you, and you must face up to their existence. So there's really a tremendous message here, which I don't find anywhere else, of what stand we may take and what relationship we may develop to these beings.
Hmm. How do you think their relationship with these beings was versus ours now?
Well, their relationship is also something that one doesn't have to speculate about. There are plenty of concrete clues to it in the codices. The Gnostics felt that the Archons had to be kept in their place. One of the problems they said they have with that the Archons have is that they don't observe their correct boundaries. They intrude.
Mm-hmm.
And life on Earth, as we know it, life in the biosphere where we live, depends on observing boundaries, you know? If ants go out of their boundaries and we get ants in our clothes and ants in our food, we have problems.
That's right.
But if ants stay in their proper boundaries, they are our friends.
Right.
Right. So we understand very profoundly, because we share a biosphere with many other species, that we must watch our boundaries. One of the first things that they specify about the Archons is, and this is really, to me, just dazzling, they say that they envy us. Their motivation is envy. And because of their envy, they intrude on our reality in an attempt to try to overtake it and to become like us.
They envy what about us? Our love, our passion, our ability to think, and what?
All those things, but probably most particularly they envy the fact that we can innovate, that we are driven, that we are goal-oriented, that we have the passion to explore and innovate, whereas they are, being cyborgs, have a very robotic capacity, and they lack that.